Good day, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, At the Still Point. I'm Dr. Ryan Christensen, founder, chief wellness officer at Stillwater's Osteopathy Link. And it is an honor to be joining you today with our new clinician, Chaman Steve. Welcome, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being the vision and creative force behind this beautiful idea. Steve is a beautiful clinician who I'm excited for our listeners to get to meet. And I got to experience some of his medicine, and boy, is it powerful. But we are really excited to be with you today, coming from beautiful Lake Orion, Michigan.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize the makeup of Lake Orion, where some of the people that originally set here, it wouldn't be right for us not to acknowledge the land that we're currently occupying once belonged to what was once known as the Three Fire Alliances here in Oakland County, which was made up of the Ottawa, Ojibwe, and Potawatomi Indian tribes. They all lived in Oakland County very peacefully throughout many generations. And then also right here in Lake Orion, the Nespeen tribe of the Chippewa was also very present, especially when the first settlers arrived. And a lot of times here in Lake Orion, the Nespeen tribe and the white settlers were helping each other out. They lived here cooperatively. They helped them clear lands. They helped them with crops and shores. It's a very nice coexistence what was in this area at one point. So it's great to acknowledge those four tribes, the Ottawa, the Ojibwe, Potawatomi, and the Nespeen tribe of the Chippewa, for the land that we're currently doing this podcast from. So
thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Coming to you from unceded land here in Lake Orion, Michigan. We're living as a vacation, and thanks to our team at Orion Network Television, we're recording. This is just a beautiful space. And I'm just really excited, Steve. Thank you for that education, because we really come to this spirituality through our ancestors. And today is a beautiful day of celebrated in a Christian tradition of All Souls Day, celebrating the saints. In the shamanistic tradition, we open our directions and call on Siwa Kinte, hummingbird, the ancestors. And the veil is very thin right now. What messages, Steve, do you pull in and welcome as we start talking about the mission of the Still Point, or At the Still Point, where medicine meets the sacred?
I think the biggest thing that's coming through is that we need to open our hearts a little bit more. We need to be a little more accepting of ourselves and the ones and our loved ones and the ones around us, with being able to offer that acceptance of others. That helps us heal our own heart and heal our own space and be able to put us on the proper trajectory, be healed and lived in the light.
That's really beautiful. It all starts within.
It really does. And that's what so many people, as we as humans grow, especially in the Western world here, it becomes harder and harder to find our center. We're constantly bombarded by outside sources. So what better way than to unplug and go within to find the serenity within yourself? And that's probably the biggest thing. We're all on our own journey. Ryan, right. You're on your journey. I'm on my journey. And you know as well as I do, you have to go within. It's absolutely crucial. But the thing is, you have to want to go in. It's not just going into yourself and fixing it, going, oh, I can fix all this great stuff if I just go see a spiritual healer in some way, shape, or form, be it a shaman such as myself, a Reiki practitioner. Any of these people can help us with our lives. But if we don't want the change, we don't desire the change will come temporarily. It's like putting that Band-Aid on. Oh, look, the Band-Aid's on, and it looks great for the first little bit you have it, until then you go to sleep and now it's starting to look a little crusty and unappealing. Doing healing without wanting to change and committing yourself to the change. It's like that same thing. You're putting a Band-Aid on it and it feels good and it'll help that. It'll help you heal a little bit. But, you know, if you really want to, you know, get that deep healing, you have to go within yourself and you have to want to go in with yourself. And it's not always going to be pretty.
No, it isn't. And I think a lot of the world has really been through a deep, dark night of the soul. Truly.
Yeah. No,
that we come back to ourselves because that's all we have. We come into this world alone. Like we talk a lot at Stillwater's Osteopathy, Lake Orion, the practice where you can come and enjoy a session with myself or Steve is a place where we really want to help people journey inside of themselves or outside of yourself if that's where you start, because there's no judgment, but to find a place of stillness to rebalance. I don't think the inherent perfection of our bodies, of nature, of energy, all of the forces that when I look at the top of a baby's head and see the swirl that matches the swirl of a hurricane, that matches the swirl in the toilet bowl, I find it fascinating. That coincidences for me, maybe angel numbers, which if you're not familiar with that, that's see like 1111 or 2222, or you look at the clock and it's always 1111. And it's funny how your energy seems to shift when you, like Steve said, desire to change. And most of us come to change either from a hand forcing us to do it or great pain, truly.
There's so many things that can push us over that edge to heal. The loss of a loved one, the break, that breaking point where you just mentally break down and yourself and you just say, screw it, I've had enough of this, I'm done. And you just let yourself, you let your emotions take over. And that's a dark night of the soul period where you're gonna cry it out. You're gonna scream it out. You might need to punch it out. It all depends on how you need to get your emotions out. But it becomes a very emotional journey that some people, when they start to experience, that's when they start to pull back a little bit out of that healing journey. And so that's where I think
leaning out as opposed to leaning in.
Exactly. Because it's
talk
like,
more about that, will you?
The leaning out is it's more comfortable. We know this space already back behind us. So we can fall back and we know that we're going to fall onto that comfortable couch that we have or that comfortable bed that we have. We can fall backwards and fall onto that. When we have to fall forward, now it's not something cushy that's going to grab us and hold us. It's the floor or it's the ground and you're going to hit with a thud. And so people are afraid of that because they're afraid they don't know how to catch themselves.
And I don't think we can sometimes catch ourselves. That's why we need community. That's why I think we need each other. It's true to see and be seen is a part of this work because we're all perfectly human. We're all perfectly perfect and we're all perfectly screwed up. I think.
Oh, no, that couldn't be said. What you said couldn't be truer.
And as I look at my humanness today, I'm trying to laugh at myself instead of being mean to myself. Because one of the things I like to tell folks that we collaborate with at Stillwaters is I don't have any more information about how you live your life. I make a lot of assumptions, and a lot of doctors do. And even where we come to the place within ourselves of being able to extend compassion, I think a lot of us are healing because nobody did things for us.
Yeah, it all goes back, it can go so far back into our ancestral lines. And this is one of the things that through shamanism that we definitely take a look back as your past lives, your ancestral ties to all these things make up who and what you are now.
This is the company of the saints too, folks. So on this All Souls Day, like whatever your faith tradition here, the ofrenda, one of my patients this morning was talking about putting photos on the ofrenda of her ancestors. And she's like, yeah, grandma's visit. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Your religion, your background doesn't matter.
Tell us why. Is shamanism a religion, Steve?
No, shamanism, it's not a religion. It's a tool that we as shamans use to help the community heal from physical or mental issues.
So it's a spiritual practice.
Yes.
Steve and I met is through our training with a local shaman, Joe. We should start with a little grounding practice into shamanism. How do we ground, or how do you teach us to ground as shamans? Should we connect with Pachamama today?
Yeah. Pachamama, for those that are new to shamanism, Pachamama is Mother Earth. That is, she is our mother of all. You know, the sun is our father, the earth is our mother. So these are spiritual practices within shamanism that are part of the founding beliefs of what makes shamanism what it is. The word shaman, it's 50,000 years old. So we're looking at 50,000 years of history, and in the word shaman means one meaning is one who sees in the dark. It also has the meaning knowledge and heat. So shaman, by many people, is a person on fire with very special kind of knowledge. The one who sees in the dark, we'll talk more about that.
Also the idea of the hollow bone, which is something too that goes back to osteopathy. And is that about channel, Steve, or is it about energy? Why this is important? I think we get one life right now, one planet right now.
Yeah. It's important to go on this journey and heal yourself and find yourself, because we all come to Earth with knowing that we won't remember anything when we get here, but we're going to start with a complete blank slate. So we come into this world knowing that we came here with a purpose, with a soul contract in place to help guide us or teach us what we need to learn in this lifetime. Because over many lifetimes, you'll have to learn many different lessons. And that's why we have so many lives that we've all gone through. And
if it wasn't, maybe people have a hard time with an idea of a reincarnation thing. And this is where we talk about the ancestors, because there's energetic imprints of previous agreements, of cords, of attachments, things that I think the quantum space is starting to understand and explore. But our shaman friends have been talking about this for many eons.
Yes, because when you look at some of your ancestral ties, you have to look at, well, what does that mean? What does an ancestral tie mean? It means this connection to one of your ancestors that may have either had something really good or really bad happen in their life. And so they imprint this knowledge into the ancestral line. They'll be like, I need to pass this knowledge down because everyone in existence needs to know. So this does or does not happen to other people in my family. Most of the time we see it on that more negative side of things. So with that, I'm going to throw an example out there. Our ancestors from early settler times on, be careful when walking around a horse, because you don't want to get, take a horseshoe to the head, because that's what took your ancestor out. So they're very cautious to put this horse knowledge that to you has no effect in your life whatsoever.
My grandma June said, watch for snakes, because we grew up where there were rattlesnakes in Montana. And that was the most loving thing that they could say to you is watch for snakes.
But that's an example.
Yes, it would survive. Like it is. I love that you say that.
Well, but
it's so applicable in my life.
Well, for a lot of people, we're not dealing with horses on an everyday basis. Our mode of transportation and our farming equipment, we don't use horses in the manner that they did in early settler times.
Right.
So this knowledge that we have, and so then we have this ancestral line that has this fear hook to it of horses, or a fear of animals, or a fear of getting kicked. One of those fears is going to be imprinted upon you and your grandma and your great grandma and your great grandma, so on down the line to the original person who put this in place, your original ancestor.
And can it be cleared?
It can be cleared. That is something that through the illumination processing and going through shamanic healing, that we can look at some of those ancestral cords and take a look at it, figure out exactly what ancestor this is. Sometimes we get a name, sometimes we don't, but it is definitely someone in your line, and we can journey through and talk to that ancestor, figure out why they put this tie onto you, what it means, and then talk to them about how it's not relevant in your life and how we're going to remove that. And when you remove that ancestral line or that ancestral, some will call it a curse, some will call it a whatever you want to label it as. But when we pull that back, that doesn't just help you. That helps if you have siblings or other immediate family member that's still living. That helps them. It helps future generations of your family also. So that doesn't get imprinted on your kids or your kids.
That's so helpful because you truly have control here and you have a choice. Like we were getting back to earlier in this episode, is talking so much about the choice to heal and the choice to honor our ancestors by learning a new thing. Because sometimes we get so stuck in, I've done it that way, and that's good. And the one thing I've learned about brain science, about neuroscience, about energy, is you can clear yourself and start as clear, still waters.
Yeah.
We're a liquid crystal with consciousness. We're a plant with legs here. We can connect with all living beings if we're smart enough, I think.
You're absolutely right.
How did you come into this? I think a lot of us come into the journey of becoming a wounded healer or healer through great pain and great suffering. 2 or 3 minutes each and just tell a little bit of a story here.
Yeah.
And then finish out with a practice. Because I think we've also opened some doorways already on this day to the ancestors and the lineage and the ancestors. Thank you, Steve, for naming the native ancestors that first inhabited these lands. And my family tradition comes mostly from Norway through a homestead in Montana, where then I ended up here in Pontiac, Michigan for residency in family and emergency medicine. And I discovered my hands as osteopathic tools to help with healing. And I actually trained as a shaman in Pontiac as well. It's been such a beautiful gift to see where the opening is. And I am so called to just allow some transparency for these conversations to begin.
Yeah, it's always real interesting to see where we all start. For me, it was growing up in a house that didn't put the kibosh on these type of ideas.
Parents are so important.
Yes, my mom was a great mentor in that aspect because she would take me to the psychic fairs, and so we would, and then the metaphysical meets and stuff like that. It's back in the 80s, there weren't as many crystal shops and metaphysical shops as there is now. When
it wasn't okay to talk about this stuff.
No,
truly.
It was usually, you know, in a hotel conference room that was set up with a bunch of card tables that had a bunch of psychics that would offer their services, obviously for their fee. That's growing up in that environment was always encouraged. I think a lot of us do. I lost that way throughout my teenage years and into my 20s. And then I had a family, and then life throws you curveballs. And sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you're not doing as good as you want to do. And so then something happens. And for me, I was going to get a gift for a family member. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I should get a book while I'm there. And that book changed my life. And it was a book on meditation. I read it all on that single day. And from that point forward, it reignited my love for the metaphysical and to try to find my own path.
We're going to have to do an episode about that book.
Yeah.
And about meditation.
Yeah.
That'll be one of our third or fourth episodes, I think, because we're really going to get into some practices and we're really going to give you some granular tools on your healing journey that will really help you connect both with yourself, with your ancestors. And I wonder if we should start with a practice today.
Do you have one in mind or do you...
The one that's coming in really strongly is the traditional Hawaiian forgiveness practice called the Ho'oponopono.
That's perfect.
So let's talk about that for a minute. We'll listen to the drums too, because I like this journey that we're on. The most interesting thing about this journey is that right now is a perfect place to begin. And as we tune into our breath, let's take a breath in, conspiring together, and breathe out as we feel our feet. Same. That's right. And the Hawaiian forgiveness practice called the Ho'oponopono is 4 statements that we're going to make to ourselves first. So we're going to say our names to ourselves out loud, our first followed by, I'm sorry. So for me, it's Ryan, I'm sorry. Next, you say your name again, followed by, Ryan, please forgive. The second statement, asking for forgiveness. Third statement, insert your name again, and it's always best to say it out loud. Ryan, thank you. And Ryan, I love you. So the 4 steps are, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love
you. And it's really that easy and that powerful too, because it's something that you gave to me a while back and it's still taped to my mirror. I still do it every single day.
I love that. I write a prescription for health and happiness for folks that come through our Stillwater's osteopathy practice. And I often recommend the Ho'oponopono. There's some books and courses and beautiful practices online. We'll link a few below and actually record one for you that will really help. But let's just try this now. Let's try this with Steve. Steve, I'm sorry. Repeat after me. Steve, I'm sorry.
Steve, I'm sorry.
Steve, please forgive me.
Steve, please forgive me.
Steve, thank
you. Steve, thank you.
Steve, I love you.
Steve, I love you.
Ooh, that's powerful.
And it still gets me almost every time. Between the I thank you to the I love you. That's where it really hits me the hardest. Mm-hmm. It's like right down in my heart. It's just right there. And it's just like, it's a relief. It does really help. And for everyone out there doubting it, try it a couple times. When you get up in the morning, you take that shower, look in the mirror and say those four lines to yourself. But look at yourself in them.
Yeah, the gaze is really important. I was at a workshop this weekend with a trauma-informed pediatrician from Michigan State University College of Osteopathic Medicine, Dr. Pallad, who was talking about the gaze of the mother. He said, if you're born and nobody looks at you with loving eyes, that your nervous system learns unsafety, really.
Yeah.
And I found it so fascinating because I think sometimes we look at ourselves with such condemning eyes and uncompassionate eyes that we would never treat our friends this way. I'd never say some of the things I say to myself to you.
No.
And isn't that interesting that we can start to find this doorway together of, wow, Ryan, I'm sorry. Ryan, please forgive me. Ryan, I love you. Ryan, thank you. And if you come from a Christian perspective as well, like when people ask Jesus, oh, what are the laws? There's first, at least you know other gods before me. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Number two is love yourself. Number three is love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And this part of how do we love ourselves, we're going to give you a lot of practices for this. But I think the Ho'oponopono is one of my top three for my own personal journey as well. For the first maybe month I did it, I couldn't look myself in the eye and say, I love you.
Yeah, you had to avert your gaze because you couldn't even face yourself to give yourself that love that you as a person, as an individual, as a human being, need, want, and desire.
And absolutely deserve.
Yes.
Not by any of our accomplishments or any of our dreams or goals, which are important, but I work with a lot of folks who would be labeled disabled. And it's amazing. It seems sometimes the more we have, the less grateful we are for it.
It is one of those things that I think that there's another topic right there.
And we want to continue this conversation with you. For those of us who have joined us live, thank you. I just think it's really exciting to see where we've gone and maybe where we're going. And just really appreciate you joining us for this.
Don't be afraid to lean on others for help. That's probably one of the biggest things is you got to look within yourself, but don't be afraid to lean on others. We got a wonderful Dr. Ryan, who's sitting across from me that owns Stillwater's and was the founder. We're here to help. If his is the type of services you need, he's more than happy to help book an appointment and get you on your healing path, as I am also.
That's right. A couple of rules I have is you're never as good as the day you come out of the factory. Doctors, including myself, are never as smart as we say we are. And you're the expert in you. No gurus, truly, because I think we all need help. But I'm not sure that any one other person or any one tradition has all the answers. And I have been amazed through my pathway of opening and expansion that learning some of the shamanic practices, breath work, the dragon breath, particularly that we'll be teaching you soon, some of these doorways have been extremely powerful in ways that I still choke up and don't have words for, similar to our description of that Ho'oponopono earlier.
Yeah, and we'll teach other meditation practices, breathwork practices, all the things that can help ease some of your mind when those intrusive thoughts or those intrusive situations happen and you need to step away off to the side for 5 minutes and collect yourself. We'll give you some quick things throughout our podcasts every time to try to help with something. So today was the Ho'oponopono. Next time we'll be doing something else.
And we want to know what makes your healing journey difficult. Because I think one of the things is we'd like to create this space for the seekers, for those who maybe love medicine and crave a more spiritual approach, or maybe some people who are spiritual and need some medicine but aren't necessarily sure where or how that all fits together.
Yep.
And I really think we're on the same team. And as humanity continues to awaken into this newer light and energy, we talk some about astrology and human design, which is another beautiful passion. And we're in the last degrees of Pluto in Capricorn before going into Aquarius on November 19th. So, and today is a new moon in Scorpio. And Scorpio, again, for those of you in Scorpio season, happy Scorpio season. It's truly death and rebirth. And the scorpion goes and stings and then goes back into its cave. And we've also recognized in this fall time, this Vata season of Ayurveda, that the leaves are falling off the trees and they're getting ready for sleep. And the animals are getting busy, ready to put away their storage for rest for the winter. That this first group of our podcasts here through the end of the year, and we're striving for a weekly release, is to really get you deeper into this stillness as we go into this winter time. This quiet, beautiful stillness that is our birthright. Take a couple deep breaths with me and check back in with your body and see what good work you did today. Thanks for listening and being a part of this. Steve, do you have anything else to share with folks, before we sign off for our first ever At the Still Point podcast?
There comes a point in everyone's lives where healing is needed and necessary, and nothing brings you closer to Earth and to God and everything else than going within yourself and then using this time to heal.
Well said, my friend. And I am looking forward to many more stimulating, healing, funny, and real conversations.
Yes.
We're going to bring some guests in too. So stay tuned for that. And if you want to come talk to us, we would love to have you.
Yeah. Here's the message. We'll see if we can't work out.
And let's make sure we know that you're always welcome, and we look forward to seeing you by the still waters.
Very well.